The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Flows off the tongue. It sounds proper, but I can't say it all the way.
Hello, the Wawameter. Bust out the Wawameter. Yeah. Okay. The first preseason week.
Okay, look at you. I don't think you're having that with your soccer friends.
Exactly. It has become easier after
you got it down.
Doing more Premier League stuff.
He sounds like he's from London. That's Ahmed Farid. I am Chris Sims. It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned. What's up, everybody? It's Wednesday. It's August 16th. We are still in the midst of the preseason, in between here, between preseason week one, preseason week two. Yep. My man is here. He's looking good today. He was out late at a Mets game last night.
So
why he would be at that game right now, I don't even know.
I want to take my son.
It's a good family atmosphere.
I took my dad, too. Right. And I had been asking, I was just going to pay for tickets. But I was like, we're a big NBC. We probably have some Mets tickets.
Right.
And so I was just kind of emailing for a month here. And they're like, eventually the team got so bad that they were like, Ahmed, we do have some tickets for you.
Nobody wants them.
No one else wants these. So I took my dad. I took my son.
That's good.
It was Edwin Diaz.
Oh, bobblehead trumpet night.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was
trumpet attached,
with the Tommy Trumpet's trumpet.
Yeah, right. That's a big deal.
Given out to the first 15,000 fans. And there were people lined up. We got there early because I wanted to show Cooper batting practice. I didn't even know it was the bobblehead day.
Right.
But there were long lines there. Apparently kind of unprecedented. People wanted this bobblehead.
Yeah.
To the point that there were people that were in line before us, got the bobblehead, and immediately left. Just walked out of the stadium.
Wow.
They didn't even go to the game.
Man.
They just got
it's
the
just
ticket.
Just like that. They got the ticket just to get the bobblehead.
I was like, dang.
Is that crucial? That's that big of a deal?
I guess.
You're going to drive into Flushing Meadows and deal with traffic and do all that just for a freaking bobblehead?
I know.
I don't know. Yes. Well, we have people that are losing their mind in this country. All right. So you had a good time, though.
It was a good time.
That's good. The Yankees are about to fall into that category, too, of NBC doesn't know what to do with their four tickets. So that's when I'll ask them for that, too.
So weird. I think it's like the first time since 1960-something that for a day this late in the season, both the Mets and Yankees were in last place in their division.
Yeah, it is. It's a down. And for a city that loves baseball, baseball's on the bottom of the barrel right now for this city.
Thank God the Giants and Jets are good.
That's right. We got that. Also, so what I want to know, there's two things to witness.
Yeah.
All right. One, I know you guys don't swear in your house, but I'm sure your son heard a few cursors last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. When you learn any new words, you learn some words from the Chris Sims Dictionary?
Well, he listened to this podcast every once in a while. He'll hear it.
I'm sorry.
There was some Pirate fans that are around us.
Right.
Because we were behind the Pirates dugout.
Maybe.
Dropping some F-bombs for sure.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the podcast started early here? I don't think he was overwhelmed by everything.
Right.
So I think that kind of flew over his head. But yeah, there's some language.
Yeah, it's always a good experience for kids to hear some of that right there. It could be a different thing for sure to hear. All right, other thing we got to talk about. First off, your red and blue look today is phenomenal.
Thank you.
I mean, so America of you. And then, Tecmo Bowl T-shirt.
I think it's in that that vein. I don't think it's technically a Tecmo Bowl.
Well, yeah, because nobody wants to pay the name, image, likeness to Tecmo Bowl or to Bo Jackson, who that is on that screen there. That's Bo Jackson. I mean, that's how dare they rip off Bo Jackson's little squares of body digitalness and put it on a T-shirt.
Kathleen got this for me. I think this past Christmas.
Wow.
The same thing that you have said. You're like, why am I not wearing my polos and my summer clothing here? Because we can't for much longer.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's a good point. So I got the T-shirt out. And I think maybe the best video game ever made was Tecmo Super Bowl. You know, the second version of Tecmo Bowl.
Right.
I still play that to this day and enjoy it every time I do.
It's up there. It is. It's up there. And I think I got it on my son's birthday arcade thing he's got here.
3,500 games. I hope I think it's on there. Is on there.
He told me yesterday. He's like, I think there is a football game, Tecmo something. And I was like, Tecmo football's on there? I was like, he's like, yeah. But it's like, it's not the real teams. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't think they were ever the real teams, right? It just said New York and San Francisco.
No, they became the
in the first Tecmo, maybe
right.
Not, right? It
but
just said the city.
The names. They did have the names
did
in the
it?
First version.
They
yeah.
were the New York Giants and the San Francisco. I feel like they weren't.
But they had the real players. They had okay. the real players. Because okay. I know Mark Bavaro was on that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, sure. Right, right. Yeah, I remember that
was
too.
On that
yep.
game.
Right, right. They had those guys. Okay, so we figured that out.
If you have it, I will go over there tonight and play it on the arcade.
You're not invited tonight, okay. but some other time, yes.
Too busy tonight, yeah.
But, all right, and then... I mean, speaking of your wife and getting this T-shirt, yes. which she's obviously just a savant in finding cool T-shirts
uh-huh.
or making cool T-shirts,
yep.
a.k.a. unbuttoned swag.
Uh-huh.
But then you send me a picture last night of your son at the baseball game, and he's wearing an unbuttoned hat.
Yep.
Yes, yes he is. And Pete's saying, oh, no, right now. And that's right, homies. Pete just is dragging his feet.
No, he's working on it.
Yeah, yeah, sure he is. He's been working on it. It's year 42 of him working on it.
Yeah, He's emailed a few people. He's emailed a few people now, and he's going to press them now. He's like, if you don't get back to me in a year and a half,
right.
I'm really going to start to get angry.
Yes, right.
No, Pete has tried to get us merch.
It's not Pete.
Legal
it's the people above him.
And
yeah, legal hoops.
Who owns the name
we
got to
pay $1.50 for each T-shirt before. I mean, it's expensive stuff for NBC.
It's like just, well,
it's hard.
It's like who owns the NIL of Chris Sims Unbuttoned? Is that NBC? Is that Chris Sims?
I'll give them the fucking ownership if they can make me a fucking T-shirt. Let's see. We'll go from there, okay?
The hat did look good. I did make that hat. That
oh,
was a
you
hat
did?
That I, yeah, that was a hat that
wow.
I made. I wanted to rep the podcast
way
while
to
we
go.
Were there.
Thanks, man.
No one said anything about it, but that's all right.
That's all
I'm
right.
I'm sure people noticed the
yeah.
logo.
It I don't just, know. They probably don't know the logo enough because we don't sure. have enough merch out there to show it.
So baseball, it's probably the last time we'll talk about baseball because Chris has stopped watching.
I that's stopped.
Last game I
it's
will
sad.
Go to as a fan,
yeah.
unfortunately. We got a few more on Peacock here to go. But we got some more to discuss with the preseason. We've got Matthew Berry coming by in like... probably 20 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Let's talk some fantasy.
Yeah.
So we'll do that, but let's just rip through some of this news and some of the preseason leftovers. We wanted to talk about some of the news on here because we hadn't talked about it necessarily on this podcast.
Yeah, a few things we're missing.
Won't spend a whole lot of time, but Israel DMS7 says, what kind of contenders does Delvin Cook make the Jets? So let's start with some of the news, some of the new players on new teams. Delvin Cook going, making the Jets maybe one of the strongest running back rooms in the entire NFL with Breece Hall coming back and Michael Carter there.
Agreed. I actually had to do a draft today with Florio about the strongest running back rooms, and I picked the Jets.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you have a healthy Breece Hall with Dalvin Cook and Michael Carter, Israel Abakananda, sorry, I'm getting there. I may be wrong. Now I'm totally confused. Him, okay.
Yeah, he's not getting there, sorry.
And then Bam Knight. I mean, they got a little bit of everything, you know.
Yeah.
So they got depth, versatility, all of that. I do think it's one of the best running back rooms in football. What does it do with the Jets' offense? The big thing right off the bat is it buys some time for Breece Hall. We don't need him right away. There's no, oh, gosh, we're not the same offense without you. Now they go, hey, there's an open hole. Hey, Dalvin Cook can get 70 just like Breece Hall can. Oh, here's a swing pass down the sideline. He can get 70 just like Breece Hall can. So I think that's the big thing it does. And then, of course, to have two guys like that. And, hey, we know this is a rotational position in the NFL right now. And even within that, of course, there's drop-offs between the number one and number two guy. You're not going to have much of a drop-off here. And then also I think when you're learning a new offense here, right, and there's some carryover from what they did with Michael LaFleur, but it's still different. And you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's at the line of scrimmage all the time. I'd argue that at the line of scrimmage, other than Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers does more at the line of scrimmage than anybody else ever, other than Peyton Manning.
Mm.
And so you need a veteran guy that you know is going to be back there and know, wait, I've been in here before. There's 4 seconds on the play clock and he's changing the play and he gave a signal. Oh, I got it. Boom, boom, boom. I can do that, right? You got to trust, hey, he's going to know where to go and blitz pick up. So the Jets were already contender. This is kind of icing on the cake and maybe then some. But the Jets, I think, as I said to you on Monday, I know I said this to Florio. They're at a point where the O-line is really the only thing we're questioning here as of right now. And whether and then you go through all the other positions, and it's just top-notch after top-notch after top-notch. And I just sit it, and as I more and more I think about this, and I know I said this to you off-air on Monday, as I formulate who I think is going to make the playoffs, I just have a hard time as I think about it more and more and saying, I'm going to pick the Jets to be one of those teams. I'm not saying I'm picking them to win the AFC East. But they're just too much good. It's getting to the point where if it was mid-December and I didn't pick the Jets to go to the playoffs and they were going to the playoffs, I'd go, you're such an idiot, Chris. You overthinking it, bastard, trying to think of, like, what the defense is good. They got a quarterback. Like, come on. I'm just going to go with the basics there. And, yeah, I think the Jets are going to be in the thick of things.
You're not picking them to win the division necessarily, but wait a week because I do feel like your love of the Jets is growing by the week.
I got to see that O-line. I do have to see that.
It's the one element.
It's the one element. It was a problem in Carolina. It sounds like it was a problem at practice on Tuesday a little bit. You know, I didn't watch the second episode of Hard Knocks. I know Saleh calls the O-line out a little bit there. So that's obviously, you know, the part of the team that's being questioned by everybody.
Well, they're not going to be getting a guy like Zach Martin, the 32-year-old, got what he wanted.
Yeah.
He got paid. He got, what, an extra $8 million, basically,
right,
by holding out? I didn't think NFL players could do that. I didn't think they had that kind of leverage anymore, especially a guy that signed an $84 million deal just a few years ago.
Right, and got it restructured just this spring.
That's right.
Right, we were talking about that, and just in March. So that's what was odd about this altogether. This is what I know I was proposing from the start, right? I never thought he was going to get some big extension, five more years and huge money. But, like, let's find a sweet spot. Let's make it respectable for the player. The player is still one of the best at his position. Let's at least close the gap to where he's not being blown away by the top two guys at the position. And then you're like, whoa, there's Zach Martin in eighth or ninth place here on the guard list. He deserves to be up there by Quentin Nelson, our man Lindstrom, and in Atlanta and all that. So they did that. They brought him up to that category, and they did it the right way, too, just adding some sweetener to it. You're not stuck with them long-term. You didn't have to sign some huge salary bonus, signing, you know, guaranteed money, any of that. And I thought that made a lot of sense. I didn't know. I did wonder if they would draw a line in the sand and maybe really play tough. You know, I think their O-line is good enough to where they could have been still a good O-line with Zach Martin. I'm not saying they would have been as good, but they could have made do. Of course, with Zach Martin, they border great with their potential if everybody's healthy. And you got Tyron Smith at left tackle healthy, right? And now Tyler Smith gets to play guard because of that. And now Zach Martin at the other guard. And Terrence Steele, who played well last year. So that's their best group there, and you get that. And then I think the other thing, too, that at least comes to my mind in that conversation, right? $4 million each year, the next 2 years, to close the gap like we talk about. We always kind of laugh and make fun of Jerry Jones a little bit, right? Because, hey, he's getting old. It's down. He wants to get a championship before he croaks and dies, right? I'm being funny there. And just but the pressure's there is what I'm trying to say. And he's probably going, wait, is it really worth me losing that chance to get the Super Bowl because of $4 million the next 2 years? I'm sure he came to that determination. And then the more time went on, I bet you they went, wait. We play in the NFC East. The Giants have an unbelievable defensive tackle duo. The Eagles have an unbelievable defensive tackle quattro. I don't know, you know, what the hell is the word you'd say there? There's four of them there that you'd go, watch out, holy crap. And then the Washington Commanders maybe have the best duo of all.
That is true.
Right? And then you look at their schedule and you go, oh, it's Giants. And then, oh, whoa, it's week two. It's the Jets and Quinnen Williams and that D-line and all that. You know, they're going to have to play the 49ers early on in the football season and Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead and Javon Kinlaw. And I think he probably went, okay, you know, I'll just take two or three diamonds off the toilet seat in my super mega yacht and I'll give Zach Martin a little more, you know, a little more money so we can maybe win the Super Bowl here. And I think they found the right balance for both sides.
It does seem like that if you have one of those offensive lines that is above league average, it's just like that there's so many great defensive lines ends and defensive tackles. And we know their names more than we do the offensive line right now.
We do, exactly right.
So even if Zach Martin is not what he used to be or at the level that he used to be at, it's like those are
the replacement's not as good
right now.
Yeah,
it's not.
No, you're right. And he is still really good. It's year 10, right? That's where it was tough. I understand Dallas going, wait, we don't want to give you a 3 or 4 year extension with huge money, and we're probably going to have to pay Dak Prescott again. I'm going to have to probably make Micah Parsons maybe the highest or top three highest defensive player paid players in football. CeeDee Lamb's coming down the pipe here for a huge contract. So that was a tough situation for Dallas, but good job by the Joneses getting it done.
All right, we got some preseason leftovers as well. Some players maybe we didn't touch on Monday that the homies want to know about. We'll start with Drew Lock, Hawkstrologer.
Our guy.
Hawk. Hello, Hawk. How did Drew Lock look on Thursday? So he looked pretty good from the highlights that I saw. I was like, that guy looks like a guy that, you know, you liked coming out of college.
I like his talent.
Always had talent.
Right.
It was like, is he going to be able to harness it
exactly.
And get it in a positive direction?
Right. Not be a knucklehead, not think he's like, going to throw the ball into a tight window, into triple coverage, right? Those are the things we've complained about a little bit. Like, hey, have a feel for the game. It's a defensive struggle. Why are you trying to fit that ball in down the field and do that right there? You know, he's had those mistakes. He played like he did the other night. You know, that they would have had to sweat it out last year with who wins the competition between Geno and Drew Lock, right? I mean, one, his talent is real. You see that. I think he just, for me, comfortable, smooth, was accurate with the football. I thought he looked really freaking good. Now, he threw one of those bonehead interceptions. He did. A little bit where you're like, damn, you're playing so good and you've done so many good things. How did you throw that interception? Right? I don't know what he was doing. It looked like he was maybe trying to look something off and then kind of tried to come back quickly blind to a spot. And there was a guy there. But, you know, both touchdown passes. The first one, I think it was the first one down the middle, right? He threads the needle. He shows you his arm power and accuracy there. Threw a few nice touch balls. The second touchdown was a nice touch ball. Little slot receiver fade. He had the swing route of the backfield to the back. That was nice. Or, you know, the wheel route up the right sideline. He threw a deep crosser at one point to one of the tight ends. I mean, I think the encouraging thing for that is, right, is Drew Lack, like you said, we know he's got talent. He's got starting quarterback caliber talent. And they're a team right now that's ready. And what you can feel good about is, hey, if Geno Smith got banged up, with that offense and the talent they got, they don't have to take the foot off the gas pedal or play some conservative style of football because they don't trust Drew Lock. Hopefully he can be in that trust tree to where they can open it up and feel just as free as they do with Geno.
17 of 24, 191 yards, and those two touchdowns for Drew Lock. Yeah, pretty good in preseason game number one. Let's take a look at some of the rookies that we maybe didn't discuss on Monday.
Yeah, cool.
Let's start with a 6th overall pick by the Arizona Cardinals out of Ohio State, Paris Johnson. What'd you see from him?
Just like a guy that right off the bat looked like, and again, I'm not going to lie and say I watched this on film. I didn't. This is TV scouting, but yep. I watched the start of this game and a good amount of this game. Just like we've had years of last year, Ike Ekwonu, Evan Neal, first game, whoa, doesn't look quite that great. Ooh, they're feeling it out. They're not used to this. Paris Johnson just looked like he was like, what? This is Big Ten, and I dominate once again. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. He looks even more aggressive and just twitchy and poppy, too. I don't know what it is, but damn, he looked good in the NFL uniform. And, yeah, he looked like one of these guys that just looks like it's going to hit the ground running and it's not going to be a learning curve, that he might be dominant from get-go. Mm. So that, I think, is the encouraging thing for them. And that being that, you know, Eagles ex-defensive coordinator Monty Ossenfort coming from New England and Tennessee, tackle's a big deal for them. They start the franchise with the tackles a lot of the times, right? We're going to start right there. And I think they got one for a long time, it looks like, in Paris Johnson.
What's kind of cool is I'm getting a little overlap now because I'm doing Big Ten coming up here in 2.5 weeks.
Right.
So we've been talking a lot about the players who are at the Big Ten schools currently, but I know for Ohio State, there is some worry that, you know, they've lost a lot on the offensive line, Paris Johnson being one of those.
Yeah, and the other kid, Jones, the other tackle.
Might be one of the weaker parts of the team this year. And so, Paris Johnson will be missed at
Ohio State. Lost the center. Center got drafted, too.
Their loss is the Cardinals' gain here. Penn State's got a similar situation. They're talking about a new quarterback, Drew Aller, over there, who they say has higher potential than Sean Clifford had when he was over there at Penn State.
Yeah, he looked like it last year in the few clips I saw. I mean, I saw, you know, he came in a few times during the game last year, and I went, ooh, this fucker can throw it. So I'm excited to see what he looks like.
So Sean Clifford was taken in the fifth round by the Green Bay Packers and looked pretty good. 20-26, 200 yards. Had a touchdown, did have a couple interceptions. One was a pick six. Coach Magnet says to you, what did you think of Sean Clifford's performance for the Packers and thoughts on the overblown hype over Justin Fields' perfect passing performance? So I think we talked a little bit. He wanted to get a jab there at the Bears, which I like. I appreciate that.
Packer fan wanted.
I appreciate
that. Let me just
get
on that a little bit.
We'll leave that because we talked a little bit about
the Bears. Yeah, we do that. That was 3-for-3. Yeah, it's overblown, sure. Like we said, I mean, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure they came away a little bit going, damn, I wish we didn't score that easily so we could have got some more throws for Justin Fields.
Sure. Yeah.
But they're not going to be mad. And, yeah, it was a little overblown for what people just seeing the stat line. That's what's funny, right? Did I say this? Like, my son came in.
Yeah.
He's like, I did say this? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin Fields is tearing it up. Look at his numbers, Dad. And I was like, oh, yeah, you want to see what he did? And he was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so Clifford did throw the ball 26 times. What'd you think of him and how he looked in those 9 drives?
He might have been the shock of week 1 for me.
Whoa.
He might have been, as far as pleasant surprise, like, I told you before the show, like when I first saw him in there, I was like, who is this guy? Because he doesn't look like the guy at Penn State. I had to literally pull up the roster and wait, this is the Sean Clifford from Penn State that used to wear 14, right? Because I was like, the throwing motion looks different. The way his body looks different. How he stands and hops around the pocket is different. Like, they got their backup there. I mean, he looks like they might have a guy that, I mean, he's got maybe some starting quarterback potential that I didn't think I saw in him coming out. One, I mean, the quickness in his release and the way, I mean, it's Rodgers, and he's got the whole Brett Favre look going that way, and the feet are wide. He kind of reminded me of Matt Hasselbeck. That's who he really reminded me of, right? Maybe a faster version of him a little. But I just went, wow. And then the way he was going through reads at such a pace in the pocket, I mean, it told me he knew the offense like the back of his hand. And then he was made a few throws where, you know, you hear me all like, you know, Joe Burrow, he looks at one and he barely looks at two and he's throwing it. And you're like, how did he even dissect that already? There was a little of that going on where I just was like, wow, he's seeing the field in a way and knows where to go with the ball, let alone he's changed his release and the way he throws the football. Not only is it quicker and more flowing without me getting technical, but he's able to throw the ball harder. I mean, I would have never used the word lasers with any of his throws when I evaluated him at Penn State. And he threw a few balls in this game where I went, boo.
Wow.
Mofo's throwing it over here, right? So they got a backup here that I think they can really go, wait, we got somebody for the future. And I think they got to a point here, too, where if they just felt like Jordan Love didn't work this year, if it continues to look like that right there, they're going to go, they're not going to be scared to pull the trigger and bring him in if Jordan Love starts to stumble and do stuff like that. That's just the way it looked to me. He threw the 2 interceptions. The pick six was not great. He kind of tried to do what I, you know, look here, come over and throw it almost blind as you're throwing it, dissect it, and the guy picked it, and that was bad by him. The second pick, it was a bang-bang. He kind of threw it. The guy had great coverage. He tried to put it in the guy's chest, and the defender got his hands in the chest, too, and took the ball. So what? That happens. But the look, again, don't always be stat-driven. The look, the way he moved, the quickness in his feet and release, the throws, I really like the way Sean Clifford looked.
I'm starting to think you watched the wrong guy at Penn State. Like, it's not the same person that you watched. Because how would that transformation be that drastic in this short a time?
This is the thing that I'm still adjusting to. In my life, where I stand, quarterbacks, there was a time, we can go 15 years ago, 10 years ago for that matter, where you could watch them on film and go, they don't throw that good. They're not that natural. Man, there's a lot of work to be done. And you could almost go, they're not going to be able to overcome it. They're not going to get, there's just not enough out there to help them to find the right people. Now the sport has become so popular, quarterback has become so popular, like we talk about all the time. 7-on-7 everywhere for young kids, high schoolers, all year round. Don't even have to play another sport. Can play flag football in the winter, spring, and fall. Doesn't even matter. And then, of course, because it's such big business, there's a quarterback coach on every corner in America now, mm-hmm. right? And there's a good amount of them that have a clue and know what they're talking about. And we're seeing guys where I would go, oh, I don't know if it's in him to be a natural thrower or do that. I'm seeing them make adjustments quicker than ever before. And it's, of course, I even said that to you during the draft evaluation. It's made me change how I evaluate a little bit. Just because
assumption that they might get some good coaching.
They might get some good coaching and they'll figure it out. And also get good coaching when they get outside the NFL locker room and go see specialists here and there to where they'll improve themselves in a way where I would say, like I said, 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't think that would happen with certain guys.
Who's their quarterbacks coach right now? Tom Clements.
He's been around forever. I mean, that's, remember, Rodgers wanted him back. So that's, he looks Rodgers and Hasselback-ish to me, and the way he pops and moves, and you know, like this, he's in the pocket, and there's a little bit like, oh no, he wasn't open, but he's always ready and got the ball cocked and ready to go and throw it. But yeah, that was I thought really, really impressive.
That's
by Sean
cool.
Clifford.
All right,
yeah.
Another quarterback who was drafted in the fourth round, so a round ahead of Sean Clifford, was Jake Haener out of Fresno State, drafted by the Saints. 6 drives he got in the preseason, 10 of 17, 105 yards. Was this also a completely different man than you had scouted in college?
No, this was exactly the guy.
Okay.
Jake Haener would be along one of the guys that we talked about a little bit, these guys who had a ton of reps and played a ton in college, and they just got it, and they got a natural feel for the game. That's what Haener is. Haener just got it. He's got it. He understands how to play quarterback. It's not going to ever blow you away, right? You're never going to be like, whoa, that was a vapor trail. Whoa, he can run really well. He doesn't run well. It's one of those where you expect, you're like, wait, he's this size and he doesn't run well? Like, what the hell? How could he do this? But he's great at moving the pocket. He's got great feel for how to, you know, change an arm angle, anticipation. He has all the other things to where, you know, Jake Haener, to me, I look at that as one of those guys. He could be your backup quarterback for the next 12 years, right? And, you know, hold down the fort for a 2 or 3 game span every season here or there to help your team get over a quarterback injury. But, yeah, another one where, you know, he's not going to be the backup this year, but this is probably the last year Jameis Winston's there as a starting sure. quarterback. And then he's firmly entrenched as the backup behind Derek Carr, you know, for the next few years.
And you showed some love to Jake Haener when we were talking about
right.
those quarterbacks that you were scouting. You showed a lot of love to Ivan Pace Jr., the linebacker out of Cincinnati. Wes Kruger goes, what did scouts miss on linebacker Ivan Pace Jr. for the Vikings, and how will Flores be able to use him? So he was undrafted out of Cincinnati, even though he was your 5th best linebacker in the draft. So we're getting close to scoring one for the Chris Sims scouting department.
I hope so.
He looked good. He's just a physical football player. He looks different than most other players out there, linebackers. He's a bowling ball.
He is.
But he popped.
He's explosive. His read and react skills are real, and he's fearless. And that middle linebacker and the right scheme, that's all you need sometimes. You know, this is they're going to use him. They're not going to expect him to, like, you know, be like some old New England linebacker or Giants linebacker and be like, take on pulling guards and hold your ground and, you know, two gap and linebacker, right? That's not what he is. He's a, hey, there's a hole, fly and get the ball. And he is the perfect case again, too, Ahmed, where I just go, it's like, it's prejudice against certain teams and players in college football. I want to go, if he was on Alabama, he gets drafted in the mid round. But since it was Cincinnati and they don't have a lot of linebackers, I mean, he was a little smaller than Tio Tioto, remember? Linebacker who I also like from out. It wasn't like drastically smaller. In fact, I think he weighed more and was like an inch shorter, an inch and a half. Maybe you can look that up or see the, but it wasn't that big of a difference. But you know, again, that's what happens. And of course, size does scare people in the NFL when you're that small at that position. And if they feel like they didn't get to see you doing it against a ton of NFL offensive linemen and stuff like that, then it's double scared, right? An Alabama guy, everyone goes, well, I saw him play against Florida and LSU and they had NFL offensive linemen and he was okay, right? So that's where they get the benefit of the doubt. But I think the smarts, the explosion,
the ferociousness, and you know, you always hear me say, the no hesitation. That's what I liked about him. Mm-hmm. There was, hey, coach, run through the wall. You want me to run through the wall? Yes, sir. And he's already running through the wall. Like, it's just, that's what a middle linebacker has to be. And then he's getting coached by a guy in Brian Flores who is going to not put him in some of the spots that he knows are bad for him. And he's going to continue to encourage his natural instincts. And I played with a guy in Tennessee, Stephen Tulloch. He was like same type of build. He was like, 5'9.5", 5'10.5", 230 something. And when you saw him at first, you were like, wait, is that a third down running back? Or what the hell is that guy? What? He's our middle linebacker? But again, when you are smart and then you can accelerate to that ability where you can go, wait, he's standing in the middle linebacker and he can get to the gap between the tackle and the tight end in like three steps and be there in a flash and then bring the pain as far as hitting the ball, you start to realize, okay, yeah, all right, if a lineman gets their hands on him, he's not the best, but a lot of the other areas of the game, he excels, and so we're gonna have to deal with that.
So To'o,
yeah,
measured at 6'2", 228.
Was he 6'2", 228? Damn, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else that I'm getting mixed up with. Maybe I am. And then Ivan Pace is what, 5'9.5", 5'10.5"?
5'10.5".
Okay.
And
okay.
Like 235.
Okay, so he was a little heavier. I was right about that. There was, you know what, there's another smaller linebacker I think I'm getting him confused with from our draft process, and I can't think of it right now. There was one other one
maybe
that
he was 6'1", To'o, so.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
That's good like job. 3 inches, but yeah. Pace has got a little more weight to him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my point. He's drafted if he plays in Alabama. I would say that.
Yeah.
The height thing is a little bit more than I remembered. Sorry about that.
Another pick by the Vikings was their fifth round running back out of North Carolina, Ty Chandler.
I know there's a lot of talk up there in Minnesota about, you know, hey, the running back and Madison, is it going to be as good as Dalvin Cook? And no, I don't expect it to be as good as, you know, Dalvin Cook, right? But, I mean.
11 carries, 41 yards for Chandler in the game.
It's the way he ran. It's the way he looks. I think that's the big thing to me. You know, watching him out there, and you know, Seattle was, you know, they had some. Not all their starters, but some guys playing in that football game there. I mean, it's just the ferociousness in what he ran. It was, again, a physicality and explosion when he hit the line of scrimmage that I went, this guy's going to be able to bring something to the table here for them this year. Like, they're going to be able to depend on him. So he was a guy that certainly popped him to me to look like, hey, he's an NFL dependable running back. And behind him is – or behind Madison – you know, I think there's nobody there locked in stone as far as who we expect to be the second guy there. And I would think he's got a chance to be that guy.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So, you know, we're seeing somewhat in the preseason again why running backs are having such a hard time.
Right.
Because there's a
fifth
round running back. And then we got another question here from MMA Born Sender. Damn okay for Elijah Dotson, undrafted free agent by the Chargers, a running back, found our next undrafted stud, 6 carries, 92 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that preseason game against the Rams.
Yeah. It's just it's the running backs hurt the running back's cause here. The kid looked good. I mean, the kid just on the two long runs, right? It was easy speed to bounce it outside and turn the corner for touchdowns. Where, you know, it's rare to see somebody, hey, he bounced it outside, he goes around the edge, and then nobody lays a finger on him. On one of the runs, they, you know, he gets hit at like the 2 yard line and then gets in the end zone. But that, you know, has a little size, right? He's like 6 foot. You know, looks like he can handle a little contact. That's probably something he's going to continue to have to get better on, is not trust that speed all the time, not always look to bounce. But, yeah, they got something there too. And they're an interesting one as well, just because they're a team where you go, you know, I know they got the kid from Texas A&M behind Austin Ekeler, but is that written in stone where he's definitely, you know, the backup? Isaiah Spiller, you know, is it Joshua Kelly or does Elijah Dotson have another game like that this preseason? And they start to go, damn, okay, we got to put that guy as our backup running back when Austin Ekeler's out of the game.
Yeah, he went to Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado.
And then there's another running back who's not in a rundown here, but I saw with the Packers, Emmanuel Wilson, who showed some speed, and he came out of undrafted out of Fort Valley State.
It's
where are these guys coming from?
I know. Well, and the other thing that's crazy about running back, right? We know the ones that are got stats and play for big schools there or go to the combine and put up big numbers, and then we go, whoa, we got to look at this guy again, right?
Yeah.
There's also the element of, you know, the running back who, yeah, his pro day wasn't that great, but I don't know, when you put pads on and you give him the ball, all of a sudden he finds a gear that you can't account for. And that's where, like, real contact situations are important for football players in general, but especially the running back. One, they got to get used to contact. But two, you know, it's a different game. Some guys thrive in the, you know, 7-on-7. We're just wearing our helmets look at me. I'm making everybody miss, and you can't touch me in a two-hand touch game, right? Great. That's great. But other guys are just going, wait till we put the pads on, because now when people actually hit me, I'm going to stay up. And that guy that's the 7-on-7 superstar over there, he's going to trip the first time somebody touches his shoelace, and he's not going to get you any extra yards. And that's what you find out about these guys through the preseason.
Troubling for a Lions fan that you have these running backs popping for the Vikings and the
your
Green
guy
Bay
popped.
Packers.
He's in my notes.
Oh, Jahmyr Gibbs.
He popped for me.
He did. He looked good.
I got no doubts about him. So you don't. And I saw enough on clips and social media and through the Lions website to go, don't you worry, everybody.
No, he did. Yeah. That's not what made me worry. I was just worried about stopping those other running backs. But the Lions D-line looked pretty good against your Giants. Drew Claiborne says to you, is the Lions D-line depth real, or is the G-men O-line depth that bad? Ooh.
Well, I think there's one. His point about the Giants O-line depth, I think it's that's fair to question that. I don't know how awesome some of those second guys are and you know, really how dependable they would be in a real game situation. The Giants might be a little top-heavy as far as the starters are concerned in that department. But I think the other part of that question is one of the questions we got, right? We talked about it. I mean, Zach Pascal was the guy I said, not Zach Pascal, Josh Pascal.
Josh, yeah.
He's got a pop. Levi Osorenki. Yep. Those were guys that were on my list for potential, hey, we got to watch them in the preseason.
Drew mentioned that Levi was a F the playoff.
He was a game wrecker. He was. You saw him a lot during the football game. So, no, I think there's potential here with this Detroit Lions defensive line. You know, I like the middle guys and how they are stout against the run. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, both Okwara's got a little potential. Pascal could be a game wrecker and versatile DND tackle type. And same with Onzerike. So, we got to see a little bit more. But, like, I'd be encouraged by that. I don't care if it's the first team, the second team, or whatever there. That was damn good.
Yeah, we're getting a look at the second-string players, and the 49ers fans probably did not like what they saw from some of those second-string players. Alexander MD says, should the Niners be worried if any second-string players have to start this season? Top to bottom looked awful.
Well, you know, it was a weird game. I think awful's maybe a little bit, you know, I don't know, a little harsh, okay?
Bad. It looked
bad. It wasn't great, but, like, again, these are the things that are hard about the current NFL environment. Yeah, I mean, the 49ers are probably a little top heavy. Sure. You know, most of the really good teams in football are. You get stuck into where, hey, we've been good for a while. You know, you got to pay certain guys, keep them there, do all that. They've tried to pick and choose where they're deep at, right? D-line, they're pretty deep. O-line, no, they're not. And why is that? Well, they got a credible tight end they got to pay. They're paying a running back. They're paying the receivers, right? They got some defensive guys. They're about to pay Bosa and make him, you know, the richest guy in football and the defensive side of the ball, right? So where have they cut the fat a little bit? Well, they go. That's where you get into, I think, the second team O-line. And that's, you know, I could picture Shanahan and him wanting to do that, but just because he's going, wait, I'm smart. I'll figure out ways if we don't have our full group here to, you know, come up with another creative run or pass or whatever to hide that group to a degree. To me, where I look at with the 49ers cut the fat or maybe cut corners and don't have great depth on their roster is, yeah, maybe a little bit with the O-line, right, which can make a preseason game look real bad in a hurry. And then maybe the corners. Corners are another one. I think those are two areas when I look at the 49ers where I would say I don't think Shanahan and Lynch want to pay big money, you know, to the corner position, and they're trusting in Kyle that he can make up for maybe the greatest backups in the at the line position, and he'll do it because of his great game planning.
What about their kicker, though? 4-9-7-0-1 says, "Sup, guys? Yeah, what's the biggest adjustment a kicker has to make coming from college to the NFL? Jake Moody for the Niners worried me Sunday. Are the balls different, or is it just the magnitude of the NFL?" So he had two field goals, missed them both, was a kicker out of Michigan, who was good. Like, Jim Harbaugh is like, this guy is like phenomenal. The best kicker I've ever had. Never missed in college, then misses his first two in the preseason.
They got to play it cool with a kicker.
Oh, boy.
Well, you got to play it cool. You know, I saw Shanahan and was like trying to say, like, hey, I'm not worried about it, all that. That's what you got to do. It's the only ones that always have to hear the outside noise, the pressure. It's all about pressure. It's not a reactionary position in football.
They used a third round pick on him.
I know. You know, Robbie Gould's gone, and that's been a slam dunk, you know, make for the last 4 or 5 years with him there in San Francisco. I'm not concerned yet. The magnitude is real. Again, I know Ohio State and Michigan and all that are those big football games, but I'm just telling you. You get it in the NFL where it's just grown man and then the intensity and it's fight for your life and it's fight for your job and it's fight to get paid by your family. It is different. It is. Let alone, you know, the coaches are more blunt. You're hearing words and things said to players where you're like, whoa, they didn't say that in college. Even Jim Harbaugh didn't say that, right? And, yeah, I think there's nerves there. So let's give it another week or two. Let's just see here. If we go to this week and he's 1-for-3 or 1-for-2, I'll start to be like, oh, gosh, they might have to bring somebody in just in case, at least to get somebody ready.
Yeah.
But they don't want to do that.
Shanahan goes after the game, "It's unfortunate because I know the pressure on him and everyone's looking, and I know he missed those two today. He's been great in practice."
See?
He hits them all.
All right. So he's leaning on that. He's going to lean on the body of work.
Maybe he's the practice guy.
And he's
just the guy that keeps in practice.
He's going to chalk it up to nerves.
Yeah.
And the game. And we'll see. And I would think this week that he handles that better. And, you know, you want to impress everybody. You want to – I mean, there's so many things that go into that right there.
We've seen Isaiah Simmons in the league, but maybe now a little bit different position for him and Zaven Collins with the Cardinals.
Right.
A question from Tanner Morris. Thoughts on the Cardinals moving Isaiah Simmons to safety and Zaven Collins to edge rusher?
What up, Tanner?
Good question, Tanner.
It is a good question. And when I saw Isaiah Simmons like back there at first, I was like, wait, is this just a one play thing? Like, you know, just a wrinkle? And then you started to realize like, oh, no, he's like fucking playing safety every play. It's safety, period. That's what he's doing. Zaven Collins, on the edge. I think they've came to the determination that they're not middle of the field, ball hawking middle linebackers, right? Zaven Collins, I like him. He was a guy that kind of did both in college. He did a lot of the edge stuff. He's very natural rushing the passer. They don't have great pass rushers there at Arizona, so I could see them wanting to do that, let alone I think there were some things probably to question about his middle linebacker play anyways. The same with Isaiah Simmons. They look good. They're athletic. But you know what I would think there is, one, not totally naturals at the position all the way. Two, not the psycho killer, no hesitation guys that I would think a Jonathan Gannon likes. One, Kazir White was in his defense last year, so that gives him a great advantage, and that's why he wants him there. You know, Chris Barnes, same type of thing. Traditional ball hawking, you know, bring it middle linebacker. And then I think when you can address another need as far as, wait, we can put this guy on the edge and he can stop the run a little bit there and rush the passer. Okay, we could get our best 11 on the field. And Isaiah Simmons, yeah, him taking on guards and getting off blocks and doing stuff like that, a middle linebacker, that's just not for him. He's a space guy, you know. Let him be a safety. Let him have the incredible range and length in the back end of the field there. You get a toss sweep. I mean, him running up for extra support, he'll be there in a jiff, right? And I think they're just trying to find their best 11 on the field. Yeah. So now you what? They can put him at safety with a boot or put him at safety and have Jalen Thompson at the other safety, and then what? Put Buda Baker at nickel? Like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, or flip it around.
I'm looking at a depth chart now that has Isaiah Simmons as the nickel.
I know. I don't know if he'll do that. I don't know if he's good enough in coverage for what this defense will ask, right? So I could see him being a true free safety. Maybe he and Buda Baker are the traditional guys, and then maybe Jalen Thompson is the nickel Chauncey Gardner-Johnson or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would think they're going to try their best to make sure those three are on the field, though.
All right, we got a question from Honold Blake. Honold Blake, right?
Honold Schwarzenegger.
Hey, Honold. he wants an early damn okay. Who was the defensive standout of the week? And he gives you three choices. Did he give these choices, or Pete, did you give these choices? Oh, we're putting these in. So these are players that you've talked to Pete about.
These are
about
ones he's heard me talk about.
In contention.
Right.
The ones are Patriots edge Keon White, Seahawks edge Derek Hall, Buccaneers edge Yaya Diaby.
Yeah, at Honold Blake, damn okay to all three of those, okay, Honold? I mean, first off, Keon White was the first, like, wait, who's the guy in C.J. Stroud's lap every play here to start the game? Whoa, that's Keon White? I mean, they unlocked something there. He played in the interior mainly at Georgia Tech. Here he got to be defense end, and there's less thinking, and it's just go. And, like, I did not see that coming like that. So that was definitely a shocker. He was unblockable early on in that football game. Derek Hall from Auburn. You might remember me talking about him a little bit during the draft process, right? I thought coming off the edge, he was every bit – I thought he and Byron Young from Tennessee were better than Will Anderson coming off the edge, first step explosion, all that. It showed in the game the other night. He's real. And, you know, not only his ability to run and you know, go attack the football, but as a pass rusher, man, it looked like, you know, coming around the edge or another play he had where he had like a little twist stunt and he came up the middle and got a hit on the quarterback where I just went, man, he's going to contribute. And he looks like an NFL defensive lineman already, so there's not going to be a learning curve there. And then Yaya Diaby, you know, he was kind of a combine freak. A little raw in college, on the ground maybe a little too much, probably played out of position a little bit. But watching that game back, he's another one. He's going to contribute to that defense. I'm not saying he's starting or anything like that.
Sure.
But looks the part, pops, can turn the edge. And I know that, you know, from some people down there that they've kind of been excited by what he's done so far.
Diaby was one of those early players at the draft combine who did some things that turned people's heads. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Edge guys don't usually
run like that.
Yeah, run like that.
And that big of muscles.
Exactly.
And yeah. Right.
Yeah. So maybe it translates into the NFL
hopefully.
For sure.
Yeah.
Did you see this? Garrett Wilson kind of trolling Sean Payton. So we get a question here from Amiri Jett says, what do you guys think of Garrett Wilson trolling Sean Payton and the Broncos? And he goes, shout out to Ahmed. He doesn't get enough credit for everything he does.
Damn. Oh, what?
Amir.
Way to go, Amir.
Yes,
way
I
to
agree
go,
with
Amir.
That. You're right. I don't get enough credit.
Okay. Yep. You know, shout out to Matthew Berry, who's already a half hour late. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up yet. But
shout out to him. just hashtag as expected.
He's on his way.
Yes,
yeah, Pete says he's on his way.
He's always on his way, even when he's not on his way.
The fantasy segment will be shorter.
That was funny.
Amiri, thank you for that.
I was like, I didn't really put it together. Florio kind of brought it up, and I was like, I guess he is trolling
him. So here it is. And I guess Sean Payton has rules in the preseason. Like
no
sunglasses, like Gilligan's Island, like bucket cap.
No taking your uniform off and hanging the sideline, right?
So these are like the Sean Payton preseason rules.
Right.
And then in an interview during the game, Garrett Wilson basically did all of them, right? He did the interview, obviously. He had the sunglasses on. He had the bucket hat on. What do you make of that? This is becoming one of the better rivalries in all of the NFL. Jets and Broncos.
This will be legit chippy. And week five this will be?
Yeah.
Right? Legit. I mean, you know, first off, funny. It shows you they got their coaches back. You know, their team seems like it's a very close-knit group right now. But funny. I like that it adds to it. And, I mean, I'm dead serious. I mean, this is Sean Payton. Sean Payton is chippy. His team will be chippy. The Saints were chippy.
Yeah.
You know? He was Bountygate coach, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not judging by that anyways. I mean, Bountygate stuff is very common back in that time. He shouldn't have been singled out, really. But and then Robert Saleh, is also a psycho.
Can be good.
And I know from, you know, they were mad at that thing. They wanted to go scorched earth on Garrett Wilson. On Sean Payton. They did. They were holding back players from tweeting stuff. And that, I mean, all they were like, let's just wait till week five.
Yeah.
So that'll be real.
That was like Garrett Wilson's silent protest. What do you make of those rules for Sean Payton, though, in the preseason?
Well, he's just, you know, he's from Bill Parcells' school of coaching. This ain't like sit back there and chew the gum and eat some fucking hot dogs and just yuck it up. Guys are out here fighting for their lives. Support them. Be a team, right? Be professional. I understand that. He's trying to set that, you know, culture that way. And that's the way he does it.
To the Gilligan hat, too.
Right.
Some of it almost seems like in good fun, too. I don't know for sure, but
if they win two Super Bowls and go 14-3 both years,
yeah.
I promise you that third year you're going to see guys in Gilligan's hat and sunglasses on the sidelines. Because you go, okay, the culture's set. We're good now, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to go back and see in, like, New Orleans days, were some of those guys at the end there when they were kind of establishing, were there any of them? I want to go back and look to make sure they weren't wearing the Gilligan hat or the sunglasses or anything.
What does he have against the bucket hat? Like, why that of all things?
I guess it's just like the chill hat, right? That's like what the injured guy does at practice. It's like the annoying hat where you're like, oh gosh, he's not here to work
today. He's not locked in.
Right.
We got some Peter. So Pete always has got his eyes on kickers and punters here. And so he's been watching that with a keen eye in week number one of the preseason so far. And we did see 3 punt return touchdowns in preseason week number one. Now, all of last regular season, there were 3 punt return touchdowns. There was just 1 punt return touchdown in the preseason last year, so it's not just like it's a preseason thing. Pete says maybe an anomaly, but he is keeping his eye on it.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going to go. You know,
what would be different? Anything? I mean, there's no different punt rules necessarily this year.
No. I mean, you know, the kickoff return thing, as far as if you fair catch it, you know, inside the 25
kickoff
or anything.
For sure.
Yeah. But that even in itself, I don't know where that's going to go. I know everybody says there might be unintended consequences. My unintended consequence is, wait, you're going to give Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow the ball at the 25 every time if you just fair catch it? If I was the coaches of those teams, I'd be like, fucking fair catch it.
Yeah.
Fair catch it. Because one completion with these field goal kickers now, and you're in field goal territory with those guys. Hey, we're at the other team's 48. It's only 63 yards from here. I mean, we're getting to the range, right? You know, high 50s are nothing for these guys. But I think what you're going to continue to see in the preseason is there's limited chances to get these reps and work on certain things too. And they're gonna err right now on returning the kick. They're gonna tell their guys, return the kick. This is our chance to work, get on film, coach other guys who might not even be out there, so they can see it. And it's a learning jump off, and we're all doing that. Like, hey, we've all learned that when you ask Matthew Berry to do things, he's gonna be late by a half hour or so, or even to show up. And here we are. I mean, it was 28 minutes, and he's here. 10:45 means 11:13 to Matthew Berry.
Matthew is. Woo, he always shows up. It's just.
He always shows up, right? I mean, I can't be mad. This guy has not shown up to his own show on time, so it's not personal to me. He is famous for not getting on set for his own damn show.
No, he's famous for more than that.
Oh, well, yes.
Way more than
that. The Tesseracts. Come on, get over here, Matthew. We need a chair, first off, anybody?
Yeah, we need a chair. We need a microphone. I thought this could be a problem, right?
We wanted. He didn't know you were in the Avengers Endgame.
I did not know that.
I was trying to explain that to him.
I know. He's got no. We might have to stop down.
No,
We're gonna stop down, and we're gonna give Matthew Berry a chair.
Okay, we'll give him a chair so we know. Also, we can fix the camera. He's not on a crotch shot the whole time.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I want to command you to do something here. Get ready for draft season with the Roto-World Fantasy Football Draft Guide, featuring content from Matthew Berry, including player rankings, profiles, projections, mock drafts, and more. You can go to NBCSports.com/draft guide. Use the promo code Berry20. You can save 20%. At checkout, the man that is always on time.
There he is.
The talented.
The timely man.
By the way, just so you know, if you want to, right, there's the promo code 20 that gets you, Berry20, that gets you 20% off. Yeah. But if you would like, if you're like, you know what, that's too much savings for me,
yeah,
you can use the promo code Connor5
right.
for 5% off.
Right.
You know, named after Connor Rogers, who's co-host over at the Happy Hour, and I know he's been here on Unbuttoned as well.
Right.
Or J10, also after Jay Croucher, another guy that's been on Unbuttoned.
Sure.
So, so it depends on how much savings you want.
Right.
If you want the full 20%, then it's me. But some people are like, that's too much savings.
That's too much.
I would rather give the NBC
Some just
Universal
don't want to type your name in. They might just want to write Jay Croucher in there.
Yeah, J10 or Connor 5. You'd be surprised people are using those other two promo codes.
and then at the end, you just kind of compare who's driving more subscriptions, right?
Yeah, that's
you just see who
can it's not a totally fair fight, but yeah, that's how we've arranged it. By the way, I have a bone to pick here. By the way, guys, I want to be clear. I was told 11 a.m.
Okay.
Now, listen, I showed up at like whatever after 11 a.m. So I was late, but I wasn't as late as you made it seem.
Okay, sure. Hey, you know,
First off, by the way, can we just talk about the fact that Stamford, Connecticut, which is where the beautiful NBC sports facility is.
It's the most annoying town to drive in America.
It's like, I might as well be driving to another country. It's in terms of there's one way to get here.
Yeah.
It's a freeway. And it's a freeway. It's 95. That is the most busy thing in the world. And so for whatever reason, at 9:30 this morning, it's an hour and 10 minutes if I have no traffic from my house to here. But for whatever reason, at 9:45 this morning, they shut it down to do construction to one lane. And that, now I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic a half hour. So I cop to being late, but I do not accept being as late as you thought I was.
Okay, sure, whatever.
Fair
you
enough.
Already have a reputation. You'll be late for your funeral. Right? That's what we know.
You know what? That I would be happy with. I have a lot of skills, Chris Sims. I have a lot of skills. Time management is not one of them. I fully admit that.
I push the limit, too. Stanford is annoying.
Yeah.
I come from a different direction where I have to, and Ahmed's heard me say this, it takes me 20 minutes to get to work. It takes me 10 minutes to get basically 98% of the way.
Right.
But there is somebody paid the mayor of Stamford $1 million extra dollars to have a light at every possible spot in the world.
Lights.
Plus, they act like it's New York City, where everybody stopped, right? At all four spots. And it's like, is there a million people coming out of a stadium or the city here? Nobody's crossing the fucking street. Why are we all stopped here?
It is
brutal. It drives me crazy. Or there'll be 1,000 cars going in one direction and an equal light right. for a street that I've never seen a car come down ever, but they have an equal light. And I go, I've never seen a car come down that light, but I sit here at this light every day and act like there's going to be somebody.
It's absolutely so. Brutal. By the way, for both sides sure. of this particular situation,
yeah.
Sims also referenced the fact that I was late to my own show once.
Yeah.
So this is true. This is absolutely true. I missed like the first half hour of my show. Yeah. Here's why. There was a triple murder on 95.
Okay.
There was like 3 different people were shot.
Yeah.
Like, and where they shut down the entire freeway.
Sure.
So it's like
you don't plan on that.
You don't plan on that, and like there's literally no other way to get here other than this.
It's rough
one particular.
On these streets of Connecticut. You better ready, man.
I'm just
there was other times where there was not like, a triple murder, and you were also late though. So you know,
I actually don't remember that. I'm not going to dispute it because it could be right, but I don't remember that. Like you know.
Well, this is what happens when NBC makes employees come back to work. You know, you get talking about the commute for 15 to 20 minutes.
What I am working on, Chris Sims, I'm just going to throw this out here, and you tell me, give me some advice, because both you guys are NBC Sports veterans. You guys have been here a long time.
Sure.
I'm the new guy, right? This is just my first year. And so give me some advice, and just talk to me. Don't tell anyone else this.
Okay.
But I need to figure out a way to get the Florio deal, because Florio's holed up in his house in West Virginia.
Right.
Doesn't have to leave. Like he's got. That's what I need. I need.
You don't
want to
be that.
Not in West Virginia,
be a recluse.
I want
and then
yes.
mad at the world and antisocial and you can't do anything.
I need to figure out to get 70
different like vaccination shots to anything because you can't leave your house.
Yeah.
That's all
the Florio stuff. I'm not saying I want that personality, but I'm saying I
but
want that
personality
setup.
Comes with it, though, is what Chris is saying.
Well, you'll grow into that.
No.
You're a social butterfly.
This is my ideal. This is my dream. And you just tell me, like, who do I need to talk to internally at NBC Sports? What do I need to do to get enough juice? You know,
there's
to
so
get
many
that
jokes
Florio
I can make right now,
right,
but I'm
exactly,
not going
right, to. Okay. Well, it's your show. But right. I just do where I get that Florio deal where, like, I could, you know, basically between the Monday through Friday, I could, you know, do my show from a studio at my house.
It would be nice.
And then on Sundays, come in for fantasy football pregame.
You're
and then
enough
football
of a diva
America.
Already. Just shut up and shut up work, okay?
Long story short. It's a dream that'll die hard, is what you're telling me. Fair enough.
Long story short, it just means we have less time to talk about fantasy, and now we have even less time.
Yeah, that's
now,
all right.
This is a good talk.
Let's get to it.
Impossible here. All right, so you're ride or die.
Yes.
I'm on Ross St. Brown.
Yes, sir.
My Detroit Lions.
Yes, although just apparently just had some literally like 20 minutes ago.
A little injury.
I thought I saw 7-7 drills.
Oh, my gosh.
Trainers are looking at him, so I don't know. We'll see what's going to go on there.
It's falling apart for my Lions already. I'm nervous a little bit.
He's your ride or die
yes, sir.
Out of nowhere guy. He's not the number one,
no.
right? He was like 10 or 11 maybe on the, you know, on the
I
list?
I have him at number 10 overall.
Right.
So I am as a first-round pick. He's not going as a first-round pick. He is going, you know, kind of in the, although I've been, other fantasy analysts have yelled at me because he was going like mid to late second round.
And blew it up now.
And since I made him my ride or die, in all seriousness, like somebody yelled at me the other day. He said, you know, like, he got drafted ahead of CeeDee Lamb in my league, you know. At the point of the ride or die is not like, hey, here's this unknown gem that I'm unearthing. It is like, here's a player that I believe is undervalued. Here's a player that is known but isn't as well known as he should be. Here's somebody that I think will be an elite fantasy superstar this year. I'm planting my flag. I'm saying this is my guy. This is who I am riding or dying with this year. Again, so last year was Jalen Hurts. It's not like Jalen Hurts was an unknown quantity, but he was last year going in the 7th round. He was the 8th quarterback off the board. And I said, I think number one quarterback in fantasy is within the range of possibilities, in the range of outcomes for Jalen Hurts. He ended up finishing as the number one quarterback on a points per game basis last year. Amon-Ra St. Brown is not an unknown quantity. He's been a good fantasy wide receiver. My point is merely, I don't think people understand how great he is.
Right.
Like the stat I gave on Football Night in America when you and I were doing our segment together, Sims, was that since week 13 of the 2021 season, which was sort of his breakout game.
Yeah.
From that time, the only player, literally the only player in the NFL with more receptions from that point till now is Justin Jefferson. He's second in the NFL in receptions. He's third in fantasy points. The only person with more fantasy points than him is Jefferson and Devontae Adams in that time frame. And no one, when you talk about the elite wide receivers in the NFL, when you talk about the Jeffersons and the Cooper Cups the Cooper Cups and the Devontae Adams and the CeeDee Lambs of the
Jamar
world. Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
He doesn't get mentioned in that level. He doesn't get mentioned as one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL. And my argument is he is, and people don't realize it.
Yeah.
And I think after this year, he will be in that class. I think he's got top five fantasy wide receiver upside. I'm not taking him ahead of Chase or Jefferson or Kupp.
Gotcha.
But I do think he's in that next tier.
Gotcha. I love you, man. You really do. You put yourself out there too. You're not you go off the board, and I respect that about you a lot. And it's usually through thought out things, and you have a good gut for football, as I said about you on Monday. You really do. You see the game well. So you in
I
reality
appreciate that.
And
that
fantasy,
means a lot coming
good.
From you.
And so here's another who do we got a Amon-Ra St. Brown type of guy coming down the tracks at all? Is it I'll throw some names. Chris Olave. Garrett Wilson, who else am I missing that was kind of it's going to be a second year guy that can Jerry Jeudy. I know he's third year. Anybody else that you think
I think Olave is going to have a monster year, right? I mean, one of the things about Derek Carr is that he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in terms of deep balls, right? I mean, he was top five in the NFL in deep ball rate and deep ball completion percentage, passes thrown 15 yards more downfield over the last 2 years. And so Olave, I think, is going to be a guy that can, really benefit from that quarterback. When I was putting together my list of potential fantasy ride or dies, Olave was on the short list, as was Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, as we talked about at the Hall of Fame game, Garrett Wilson averaged over 17 fantasy points a game with Joe Flacco and Mike White.
Yeah.
Now, I had to cherry pick that a little bit because if you add in Zach Wilson numbers, it's like 7 points, right? And we only have a very limited amount of time on Football Night in America. But the fact is that whatever Aaron Rodgers winds up being this year, it's going to be an upgrade. I think personally a significant upgrade, but it's going to be an upgrade over what he had last year when he's productive as a rookie. So I'm with you. I think Garrett Wilson has a monster season. I'll give you another guy. I'll give you a couple of guys as we're just talking wide receivers here. I like Jahan Dotson. I'm a Commanders fan, so I'm a homer. Chris and I have gone back and forth on this, but I think Jahan Dotson is really, really interesting this year in terms of just as a player that when he was out there last year, he missed some time, but he was out there catching balls from Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke. He's a baller.
I'm with you.
I think there's a better than average chance that Sam Howell is going to be the best quarterback he's played with in his very short pro career.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument that Terry McLaurin, that Sam Howell is going to be the best quarterback that he's played with.
Right.
I don't know where you are on Howell, where you had him when he was coming out of UNC, but I kind of like the kid. Am I being a homer here?
No,
Sims?
I don't think you're being a homer. He was my number five quarterback that year. There were some things about him that I'd want to see him improve, but he's got a good natural feel for the game. He can throw the ball down the field with accuracy. He can make plays that way. I'm big into that. And then that offense with those weapons you're talking about, we did an exercise last week, pick one guy to watch in the preseason. I picked Dotson because I was like, he looks like he's got the ability to become a real number one receiver. Mm-hmm. And if he becomes that, and you already have a number one in Terry McLaurin, I'd go watch the fuck out for that offense. So I'm with you in that thought, let alone there's some other things you got to worry about. It's not just those two. The two running backs are good, decent tight end, Curtis Samuel at receiver. I mean, there's some other elements there. So I hear you in that, Jahan Dotson.
I'll give you another guy just in terms as we're talking sort of younger guys that haven't broken out yet. But if you look at sort of the underlying metrics of Nico Collins in Texas, the Texans, it's going to be a bad offense, and C.J. Stroud is a rookie, so they're going to struggle somewhat. But I'm just – the two wide receivers there, and I know they've got Robert Woods, but Nico Collins and Tank Dell, who really flashed in his first preseason game. But I got a chance to interview Tank Dell and C.J. Stroud at the NFLPA rookie premiere. And all they did was basically talk about each other in glowing terms. Obviously Tank Dell went to school in Houston, so he lives 10 minutes from the stadium.
Right.
CJ Stroud's he's been my tour guide. Every day, all we do is he shows me around Houston, and then we hang out, and we're playing video games, we're talking ball, whatever, we're chopping it up. And on Nico Collins, health has been an issue for him, but the underlying metrics with him are really, really impressive. So those are like some under the radar guys that probably don't get mentioned that much.
I like that.
I like that. So
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's take a step back for a second here, because I have my first draft coming up here in like a week and a half. Like, what are the big trends that I should be looking out for here? Because it's usually been, you know, running backs all in the first round. I think that one, we don't see that as much anymore. No. It's wide receivers more. Quarterbacks, are they about what they have been in the past? Tight end with Kelsey. Like, what are the big storylines if you're getting into your draft for the first time?
Sure. So let's start at quarterback, right? So at quarterback, I think more often than not, you kind of want, hopefully, an elite option. And in essence, this is something we talked about. In today's NFL, to be a relevant fantasy quarterback, you need to be one of two things. You need to be a dual threat, somebody that gets you fantasy points with your arm and your leg, a Jalen Hurts, a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Or you need 35 to 40 passing touchdown upside, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. Like, you need to be one of those two guys. Like, somebody like Aaron Rodgers is going to be a much better real-life NFL quarterback than he will be fantasy quarterback. Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, they're fine. They're solid kind of 12, 14 range quarterbacks. But in essence, I actually think because there's so much kind of sameness there, once you get past kind of the elite guys, there's eight guys that I feel really good about this year. And then you get into, and Deshaun Watson, I have at nine. And it sort of depends on how you feel about Watson. Mm-hmm. But after that, it gets kind of like you're in kind of the Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins range, you know, and you're sort of like, eh. The one wild card I'll give you. So I actually think, you know, you want to be one of the first eight people in your league to draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I like all, you know, all the obvious guys that I just mentioned. Justin Fields is in that mix as well.
He is in that mix. Okay.
Yeah, because of the rushing.
Yeah,
and I think he improves. You know, the thing that was interesting about, and I'm just sort of all over the place, but,
you're okay.
Justin Fields, I thought what was interesting about that preseason game, you know, he threw two bubble screens, one to DJ Moore, one to Khalil Herbert, both who took him to the house.
Right.
But what was interesting there is, like, whatever, you can't count that, right? Like, he had 100 yards on two touchdown passes. Like, whatever, he threw him 2 yards and those guys made plays. But to me, the point there was he suddenly has playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year, Darnell Mooney goes down in the middle of the season. They trade for Chase Claypool, whatever. But, like, Dave Montgomery, who's a nice player but more of a plotter, you know? I mean, like, he all
These
of a sudden you're like, right,
here.
Those are game. Like, DJ Moore and Khalil Herbert, who was on the roster last year but didn't get on the field much because of Montgomery, like, all of a sudden, like, there's some speed and some weapons for Justin Fields, who obviously is a huge weapon himself.
Right.
So I think that, to me, is the exciting part about,
Justin. It's another part of a successful formula, you can see, that can unlock Justin Fields and the offense in general, and it'll all work and help.
It's something else that a defense coordinator
has to worry about,
whereas before it's just like, how do we contain Fields?
All right, wait, before you go to another team, DJ Moore, do you think he has that type of year? I mean, it looks like he's under draft. I mean, for me, he's been one of those guys where I go, he's one of the superstar five best receivers in football if he was on a good team with a good quarterback. He hasn't that. Is he going to be drafted that way?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be drafted that way, but I absolutely agree with you. Like, I think if we're just talking pure talent, like, he's on that short list of, like, elite wide receivers in the NFL. There's no question. And again, as we were just sort of talking about, Sam Howell might be the best quarterback that McLaurin and Dotson have ever played with. I feel like Justin Fields is clearly the best quarterback that DJ Moore's ever played with, right? I mean, when we go through the Sam Darnolds and the Kyle Allens of the world and even, you know, Cam Newton towards the end of his career, like, there's going to be, I think DJ Moore and Justin Fields will really connect. The only issue with DJ Moore is the touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that doesn't score a lot of touchdowns.
Right.
And has that been because of his size or because the teams he's been on have wanted to go running? You know, he was on the team with McCaffrey for a while. So that's the only thing about DJ Moore from a fantasy perspective is, can he get above four or five touchdowns this year. But I do think he can be, and it certainly wouldn't shock me if a year from now we're sitting here talking about, hey, what about that top eight fantasy season, that top 12 fantasy season that we saw from DJ Moore? And the other guy that's in that top eight that I don't think I've mentioned yet is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Who I think is just going to have a monster season. Trevor Lawrence is another guy that, like Herbert, like Mahomes, you don't think of him as a pure Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts type rusher, but he is mobile enough to get you 30 yards a game the way that Herbert and Mahomes do.
Right.
And those points add up. Everyone's back from last year. Second year in Peterson's system.
Yep.
You got Ridley, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram all back. I'm sorry, not Ridley. You've got Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Ingram all back.
Yeah.
Plus Ridley's an addition. And Ridley's an addition. Right. Calvin Ridley comes in. He's a fascinating guy this year.
Definitely.
It's not a division that scares you.
Right.
Defensively.
Mm-hmm.
We all think Lawrence is a hell of a player. It felt like last year, Chris, taking fantasy out of it for a second, it felt like towards the middle of the year, and I know this is something you and I talked about sort of off camera and just in the, you know, in the room where we're all watching the games, felt like somewhere last year there was a game where it just, was it the Bears game? There was a game where you just sort of saw the light go on for Trevor Lawrence where he was just like, okay, I'm now a franchise quarterback. Get on my back.
Right.
We're going down the field. We're scoring.
Yeah.
We're winning this game. I'm doing it. And just from that time on, and of course the playoff game against the Chargers,
yes.
He was that guy we thought he was going to be when he was the number one overall pick.
He had the Raiders game where they did the big comeback, right? The Ravens game, the Cowboys game.
The Ravens game is the one of
the Ravens,
thinking,
right? It was 27-10 and they came back. He made some big time throws and we were like, "Oh, geez, that is
that's
the number
the
one
we've
pick.
Been
that's the
for.
Guy." Right. Definitely. I'm with you there. And you know, I think he's one of the 5-6 best quarterbacks in football right now. I'm expecting him. I want to ask you about running backs too.
Okay. All right. The last quarterback I'll mention
very
quickly.
Okay, fine, do that. Go ahead.
I think Anthony Richardson's really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. I know they want to limit his throwing. I know his passing is still raw. But again, because he is such a threat on the ground, think about Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson's rookie year where they didn't let either of those guys really throw that much. I would argue that both those guys were top 10 fantasy quarterbacks on a point per game basis their rookie year because the rushing is so significant. I would argue that Richardson, honestly, has better weapons around him. I think Michael Pittman's better than anyone that Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts played with in their rookie year.
Sure, okay.
Right, you know, and Jonathan Taylor, we'll see what happens with that situation, but assuming Taylor is back, he's a better running back than either of those guys had. Like, there's more, I think Alec Pierce is kind of an interesting young player as well.
Yeah, great.
So, what I said on my show the other day was, I said, I have Anthony Richardson at quarterback 12. He's going as QB 16. Mm-hmm. So I'm well ahead of consensus on him. I am at QB 12, and I think I still might be too low.
Right.
Richardson wouldn't shock me if he just – I think that kid's special.
Yeah, we wax poetically about him on – there's a lot to like. And, with that formula, they have a good defense, all that. I wouldn't be shocked if
– And the right coach for him.
The right coach, you know, the system fits, and they'll work the right pass, you know, concepts into the whole formula like you're talking about. Plus, they'll get down to the 3 or 4 yard line. He'll get a lot of quarterback touchdown runs that way, yards on top of it. All right, so I just want to ask you before, because I know you got to go. I was going to ask about Travis Etienne, because I'm expecting
that
this year, but is there anybody else
I got,
that you
I got 10 more minutes. I'm good. I'm okay.
All right. But is there anybody else at the running back position you think that's flying under the radar that you expect kind of a blow up year here?
I think – I don't know why I keep going back to the Texans. I do think Damian Pierce is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's somebody that, like, towards the end of last year, they sort of kind of put him in bubble wrap a little bit. He got banged up, and then they just sort of limited him. But here's the thing about the Texans. Like, that's a really good offensive line. You know, I mean, there's so much about how they're going to be rebuilding, but that's a really good offensive line. Defensive-minded coach, rookie quarterback. I think what they're going to want to do, try to run the ball, play good defense, try to keep it competitive, limit what C.J. Stroud has to do. So
exactly.
I think when you think about, there's so few running backs in the NFL that are like bell cow running backs, right? There's the obvious, you know, whatever, the Derrick Henrys of the world, the McCaffreys, the Ecklers, the guys that you know that go at the top of their drafts. But Damian Pierce isn't being drafted like a bell cow running back, and he's going to be. And I'm not saying the Texans are going to be great. They're not, right? It's a rebuilding year.
No,
but they're going to be more competitive than you give them. Like, I think Ryan's is a hell of a coach. I think they've got more talent than they probably get it credit for. Again, I think it's – They've got a good offensive line.
Shanahan running system. Right. Got all that.
They're going to move the ball. Yep. Like they're not going to get blown out. I don't think they're going to get blown out.
Right.
And so Dameon Pierce is somebody interesting. Another guy that gets completely undrafted is James Conner. Because everyone's just like, Arizona, they're right. terrible. Right. Who knows? Right. Colt McCoy, blah, 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 blah. James Conner, all he does is play every single down. He's a really good pass-catching running back. So even if they're getting blown out, he's still going to be on the field. He's still catching the ball. And so that's a guy, again, that's going like in the sixth round that is somebody that is going to touch the ball 20 times a game. Fantasy production comes from literally two things, and two things only, opportunity and talent. I don't think anyone questions James Conner's talent or toughness around the goal line. He's one of the best in the NFL, and opportunity. Like, they have no one else. You know, we talked about sort of fantasy winners and losers, and kind of the fantasy winners with Dalvin Cook going to the Jets and Ezekiel Elliott going to the Patriots, James Conner was one of those guys because they didn't sign a veteran. Right. You know, they've got Ingram there. They've got a couple of younger guys, but as long as Conner's healthy, he's going to get a massive, massive workload.
What does Cook and Breece Hall look like with the Jets right now for you?
So my take is, I know everyone's saying like, oh, this means Breece Hall is really hurt. I don't think that's what it means.
No.
I think what it means is twofold. Number one is that behind Breece Hall's coming off a major injury and he's a young kid, right? And so this allows them, and behind him they had Michael Carter, they had Bam Knight.
They've unproven guys.
They have young, unproven guys.
They've got a 40-year-old quarterback who changes plays at the line of scrimmage and they do intricate things in pass protection. Like, they got to depend on somebody.
Right. By the way, a 40-year-old quarterback who gave up $35 million or whatever it is in guaranteed money to win this year.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's not doing that because, like, I'm making too much money, Jets. You guys print up some more T-shirts or whatever. Like,
right.
He's not like, go get me some help. And so think about 2021, the last year that Nathaniel Hackett was the OC in Green Bay with Rodgers as his quarterback. Oh, by the way, Rodgers won the MVP that year.
Yep.
What did they do that year? It was Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Now, obviously, Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall are very different types of players than Jones and Dillon, but the fact of the matter is a two-headed rushing attack that took some pressure off Rodgers, that made it a balanced offense.
Yeah.
That's what worked for the Packers and Hackett that year. And so a guy like Dalvin Cook, who is a veteran, who, like, the issues with Cook in Minnesota from a football perspective were money related, not talent. Mm-hmm. Like, again, maybe a little bit if you look at the efficiency metrics as he lost a step, maybe, but he's still a very good running back, right? And so this allows them to have kind of a 1-2 punch with Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook, and it allows them to bring Hall back slowly so that he's full health second half of the year when they're making a playoff push. Their schedule the first six games is absolutely brutal. And so I think it's another veteran, to your point, another veteran back there that when Aaron Rodgers just does one of these, whatever, Dalvin Cook knows exactly what that means and is going to hit the right gap or pick up the right blitz or whatever.
Right.
And so from a fantasy perspective, I have Breece Hall, I think, at 14, and I have Dalvin Cook at 26. So I have Breece Hall as kind of a mid-tier RB2. And Dalvin Cook is kind of a flex play. And my expectation is usage-wise, it will be very similar once Breece Hall is up to full strength. Usage-wise, it'll be very similar to Jones and Dillon, where Jones averaged about 18 touches a game and Dillon averaged 11 to 13. So that's what I think it will be.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that would probably be the proper balance there, right? And I think you hit on all the right things there altogether. I mean, anything else out there that you think people are missing as far as fantasy or anything there? I want to wax poetically about you being in Avengers Endgame that he didn't know about.
We don't have time.
He didn't even know
about that.
He didn't know you were only in the highest grossing film ever.
I didn't know.
He doesn't watch movies.
I didn't believe it.
Yeah, I am the highest grossing. Look, there's a you see
look
there,
at that guy.
That's me in the that's me in the movie next to Thor
with the cape on.
Tony Stark, and of course that's Alexander.
You're a lot taller than Robert Redford.
I am.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I am indeed. You know, what's amazing is about this particular shot is so that was the last movie that Robert Redford ever did. Like, he has not.
Oh,
he's retired.
Yeah,
he's retired.
Okay, right.
So, again,
he
I
worked
hope Robert,
with you and he said the
well,
hell of this.
Listen. Robert Redford is beloved. We love him, right? And we hope that he lives for another 50 years.
Right.
It's an icon.
But he's an icon. But just at some point, whenever, because there's an expiration date on all of us. Like, at the Oscars, when they do In Memoriam, like, you know, do they show a shot from his last movie that he ever did?
Oh.
And there's my dumbass standing next to him.
He's already thinking of his next Hollywood diva moment.
I'm just asking. Like, yeah, again, he's like, again,
if that guy dies,
no.
I'm going to be on the Oscars one day.
Again, I hope he lives 50 years. He could not have been, he's an icon. He is a legend. He is, you know, he is the GOAT. And by the way, on set, he could not have been nicer or more kinding. Cool. Or, you know, and I'm just like, who am I next to Robert Redford? But he was like very welcoming and asking me, like he, you know, loved that guy. But it's just, it was pointed out to me funny that, like, obviously, you know, whenever that day comes, and it's going to come for all of us, like a nation's going to mourn, and they will probably, one of the things they will do when they, you know, look back upon this brilliant man's career is they will show a shot from his last movie that he ever did.
Yep.
This isn't his last scene, was it? Did he do another scene after that?
That's the last time he announced his retirement after that movie came out.
Right.
Wow.
So I'm just, you know,
He was passing the torch.
Can you tell your friend to watch the fucking movie you're in?
I do not need to watch the last one.
How have you not seen Avengers yet?
So many movies.
You're the only person on the planet that hasn't. It's the highest grossing movie of all time worldwide. It's the only movie I've ever done. So, you know, on a per movie basis, I am the highest grossing actor of all time worldwide.
Better root against Barbie.
And he's going to be on the Oscar show.
Barbie's coming for us. There's no question. I gotta see Barbie. The only other last piece of fantasy advice I will give you in terms, because you asked about tight end. We did talk a little bit wide receivers. Yeah. At tight end, I think there's an elite tier. Kelsey's in a tier by himself, and then I think it's Andrews and Hockenson. I do like Hockenson this year, former Lion.
Yep.
But in this year, I want to either be one of the first guys in my league to draft a tight end, one of those elite guys, or I want to be one of the last. Because after you get past kind of those big three, like, you know, I like Dallas Goedert. I like, you know, I like Dalton Schultz. I think Freiermuth will be fine, right? I mean, I think there's enough guys there in that, from that point forward,
that you don't overdraft.
I think Waller has a big year for the Giants. I really like him, and you've got Kittle in there as well. I think, you know, Higbee is underrated because he's like all they've got in Los Angeles other than Cooper Kupp. I'm semi obsessed with my guy Chigakonkwo in Tennessee. You want a late round flyer? Luke Musgrave, the rookie tight end in Green Bay, he is just he is so fast, and he is blowing by people in camp.
Yeah.
And literally, they have Christian Watson, and that there's no one else that demands targets in that offense.
Yeah. He was open in the game, and Love missed him the other night, actually, in the deep crosser.
He is going to be such a mismatch problem for linebackers, and so I think he's really interesting. Everyone loves Dalton Kincaid in Buffalo as well in terms of the tight end. But my point is that if you don't get one of those guys, if you don't get one of those elite guys,
wait a little bit.
Wait, because I think there's enough sameness towards the back part of the, you know, the 8 through 12, 8 through 13 range of tight ends.
There's a lot of guys who could finish, you know, 7 through 12.
I think Hunter Henry has a big year in Bill O'Brien's offense. He's going to use a lot more two tight end sense as a connection between Mac Jones and Hunter Henry. Gesicki already got banged up a little bit. So, you know. That's what I would do. Wait on tight end.
You're the man.
We could go on forever.
Seriously, I could ask you a lot more questions here, but we'll do it again at some point. I know you got to go. We're done with the show.
We're going to close it out with this right here. All right, everybody.
You know where to find us. We'll be back on Monday. Okay, preseason reaction week 2. Not sure I'll actually be back on Monday. Might be a Tuesday. I have to go to Kansas City on Sunday and interview this guy that nobody's heard of. Is Patrick Mahomes. No big deal. I'll be hanging with him for a little bit.
Show on Netflix.
I heard about that. I'm actually watching it.
Picked up that name you dropped.
I know. I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to be a star. One day I'm going to get there. Okay.
Understood.
But you know where to find us. Keep sending the questions. You know where to see Matthew Berry, Roto World fantasy expert. He's the man. Check out his show on the Peacock. It's streaming at 12 o'clock. And that's it, homies. Yeah. Peace out.
NBCSports.com, RotoWorld.com.
You know it. Ahmed Farid, thanks for driving the ship.
Absolutely.
All right, homies. You know where to find us. Peace out. Clap it up.
Clap it up. Well done.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.